As I've been studying this week, I've been really looking at the gospel accounts, and some things have stood out to me, and I took a note of it and made some notes for my personal self, and it just made it to a good short devotional. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1, we'll look at verses 16 through 18, and you'll probably notice it right away, but there's some things in our New Testament that just show up over and over again. I think this is one of them. In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And he walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. It's kind of one of those things you almost notice pretty quick in the New Testament. So many references to fish or fishing. I can think of just a few off the top of my head. Jesus paid the temple tax by telling Peter to catch a fish and to open its mouth and a coin would be in it. There's just a reference of a fish, but just such a phenomenal miracle. One of the first things that's recorded in Mark is fish or fishing, and we know the disciples, many of them were fishermen, so kind of seems like it shouldn't be too crazy to think of, but when you apply that the end of John closes, very similar, another instance of fishermen. They're out fishing right after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And there Jesus comes to them. They don't notice him right away. But Jesus walks up and he says to them, "Have you caught anything?" And they say, "No." And they say, Jesus says, "Put it on the other side of the ship." We've all heard the account. They pull up such a large amount of fish that they can't even go to shore. They have to bring it into shore slowly. It's just so many instances over and over. And you probably are thinking, great, another fishing story, another fishing person. If you asked me if I liked fishing, the answer would be absolutely. If you asked me if I was any good at fishing, absolutely not. I am the worst person when it comes to having luck fishing. But as I was thinking about it and I was studying the New Testament, I thought of some practical things that can help us in our Christian life and especially in our evangelism as we look at fishing. The first thing I thought of was, if we're going to be fishers of men like Jesus told the disciples to be, we better be going where the fish are. Would you ever even imagine going fishing at the same spot every single day? And there may be some of you here that fish every day. I don't get to. But I could never imagine going to the same spot over and over and over again and not getting a single nibble. But when we think about it in our evangelistic life, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do that over and over again. We do the same thing expecting different results. When what we see a lot of times is maybe we should look at a different spot. Maybe we should think of a different way to reaching someone. If we would go to where the fish are, maybe our evangelism would improve. And I think there's a great way to explain it and to show it to you if you turn to Acts chapter 17. We all know in Acts chapter 17, Paul's there and he's preaching to the Athenians. He's there in Athens. But I want you to notice just in these few verses in Acts 17, and we're going to read verses 16 through 21, notice the different people he goes to, the different places he goes to. In his evangelism, he went to wherever anybody listened to him. And I think we need to learn a lesson from that. But starting in Acts 17, and you read verses 1 through 3, I'm not going to read them, but you notice here, it's Paul's custom to start in the synagogue. Almost through the whole book of Acts, everywhere Paul goes to, he starts in the synagogue. He starts there first and foremost, and that's no different in this time. In Acts 17, verse 16, "Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers." I'm going to stop there. He reasons with people who already have an idea of who God is. We don't have many synagogues around us here in Flatwoods, but we certainly know a lot of different people who are somewhat quote-unquote religious. Maybe we should start there. They already have an idea of who God is. Maybe we'd have better results if we started with people who maybe knew God, knew something about Jesus, and start our evangelism that way. Most of our neighbors know God in some form or fashion, but many a times we don't want to go talk to them because it's kind of strange. But that's exactly what Paul does. He starts with people who know God. Moving on in that same verse, "and in the marketplace daily with those who happen to be there." Now that's strange for us. Could you think of someone preaching the gospel at Walmart? We should. We should be taking Christ with us everywhere we go. Paul did. Paul does it, and he speaks to those who already know God. He goes to the marketplace. He then, even further in this account, he goes to the Areopagus, and he talks, basically, that was a public forum. Paul was willing to go where the fish were. And many a times we're not willing to do that in our own life. Maybe if we changed our method, if we changed our thought, if we just talked to one person about God and Christ each day, how much would the church grow? I think it would grow exponentially. We grow so much the building couldn't hold it. If we tried every day to talk to somebody about Christ, where we went. You know, Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples. Go and baptize people. That was things they were supposed to do in their daily life. As they were going out, they were to teach the gospel. They went to where the fish were. Many a times we're not looking to do the same. Another thing I thought of was the power of the gospel. When you really illustrate it to fishing terms, you know, the gospel is the strongest reel and rod you'll ever see. It can bring in even the toughest fish. It can bring in those that don't want to be brought in right away, but over a long period of time, the gospel wears down people because of its strength and its power. As in, we're not going to read it for time, but Paul is the perfect example. You know, Paul was breathing threats to the church. Paul was persecuting Christians, but the gospel brought him in. The gospel brought him to Christ. Did you notice it wasn't until he became a Christian in Acts chapter 22, if you turn there, we read the account as he's telling it over again. But notice when the gospel brought him in. He's there, he's talking to Ananias, and this is what Ananias says to him. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power right there. It can wash away your sins. It can take the worst sinner out there, and it can make him the purest person in front of God because it washes away your sins. Jesus has that power. The gospel has that power. And we can see it in our own life. You realize that you have in control the gospel of Christ. And you can go out and it's not you, but it's God, saving a lot of people. You have to realize the power that you hold as a Christian. If we knew that and we thought of that in our evangelism, maybe we wouldn't be so negative. Maybe we wouldn't look at the bad parts, but we would look to the power of the gospel and we'd use it more in our arsenal. The last thing I thought of, and this lesson will be yours, if we're not out fishing, Satan will be happy to take our catch. You ever really thought of that? If we're not out preaching the gospel, Satan will be happy to catch that fish that we're not worried about. We know in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan is a lion. He's waiting to devour his meal. He's waiting for someone. He's waiting for someone, and he wants to lure them in. And we know through especially the scripture that Satan doesn't make anyone do it. And I think fishing is a great analogy for this. Satan is just like us in the aspect that he's fishing for men too. He's got his line, and that's the opportunities. Satan opens up the window. Satan opens up the opportunities for us. But James chapter 1, 14 and 15 kind of describes it. It's our own temptations. It's our lusts. It's our desires. We're the fish that bites his lure. Satan provides the opportunity, and the man makes his own decision. Satan's out there, and if we're not fishing, then he'll be glad to take the fish we miss. Satan's best lure, if you think about it, is that temptation of a false sense of time. You ever thought of that? You talk to somebody who doesn't want to obey the gospel. Most of the time it's, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got 20 years. I got 50 years. I'm only 18. I'm only 20. And you can put an age. That's Satan's best lure. That's Satan's best temptation. And there are plenty of people who fall to that each day. You think I've got plenty of time, and then time slips by. Life is like a vapor. It just goes into the wind. It's there and then it's gone in the moment. I think Jesus wraps it up, and this lesson will be yours if you turn to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus talks about this, and he again is going to talk, and I think fitting. He's talking about fish. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 13, 47 through 50, and it reads, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." We see there's going to be this day of judgment. And it's fitting that Jesus talks about a net, and I assume fish is the thoughts that he has. A question I have for you: are you a good fish or are you a bad fish? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you heard the message? You've heard it tonight. Jesus came to this earth. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He raised again on the third day. That's the gospel in a nutshell. If you believe that He is the Son of God, you confess that He is the Son of God, you repent of your sins, and you're baptized as Paul was when he became a Christian, then you can be a good fish. You can be a fish that's going to not worry about that day of judgment. It's going to come, but it's not something you have to worry about. Might be the case that you once were a good fish, but you've fallen back into temptation. You've fallen back into sin. This evening, you have the opportunity to make your life right. If anyone has any needs, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.
To our class.